For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Josh Allen is the baddest man on the planet. I've said it from jump, my favorite player in the league, the best player in the league. I didn't say quarterback.
He needs to stop.
The best player.
He needs to stop doing this.
Oh, that's because he's a player. He scores in the red zone.
Best
only
player?
Has 50 best player. You put him on defense and be a Pro Bowl linebacker. I love this kid. Look at him dropping dimes all over the place. Throwing the back.
Everyone
shoulder.
Tells me he's
Come
overrated,
on,
Rex.
Four like total.
Overrated. Who the hell's taking these polls?
Rex Ryan. He's a fan. Incoming AFC Offensive Player of the Week honors for Josh Allen, right? It's happening. Four total touchdowns. Yes.
I think he's going to get it.
Not many players in league history have thrown for two and run for two in the same game. Is he the first or the fourth? Not many. I saw.
He's done it four times, I said.
Okay, it might be.
This is the fourth time he's run for two and threw for multiple touchdowns through the air and multiple on the ground.
Well, yeah. How about this? Fun question for you. How many names would you want to make a MVP bet blank versus the field? What's the right number of names here? Is Mahomes and Allen versus the field the right call? Because going into last night's game, I thought there's one other player that has a little narrative advantage to him, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And he did not play anything close to an MVP last night.
But
if Rodgers had a huge season and got the Jets to the division, like that is a narrative MVP case. Allen this year, as much as Bills fans think he should have already won one before, wouldn't we all agree he has a better storyline case for MVP? If they win the division, if they finish 12-5, the changes they're going through, the way he plays, scoring all the ways that he does, he's got to be one of the top two favorites right now. Mahomes, if he puts up monster numbers and they're the one seed, like usually it is tied into one of the one seeds gets the MVP. That happens all the time. Rodgers, I think, has a narrative advantage, but it doesn't look like he has the game to match it right now. So
Mahomes also has maybe working against him that they don't want to just give it to Mahomes every year. There's a staleness, I guess, with like that happens in all sports, right? Like LeBron probably should have won MVP in the NBA like seven years in a row.
Every year, and they just stopped.
And they just because they didn't want to give it to him every year.
Yep.
So will they do that in the NFL? Do they just like we can't just give it to Mahomes every single year, can we?
I mean, we're 4 months
we're bored,
away.
We're bored of this almost.
From doing this, but the Chiefs finish 14-3.
Yeah.
The Bills finish 12-5. Who gets the MVP?
I might want to favor Allen.
You might.
I might.
It might be different this time because of the storyline. Like Mahomes, the story for his offseason is they went out and they got him a lot of help.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills, of course, went out to try and get help for Josh Allen, too, but it's not exactly the high-profile kind of guy. I mean, it's so funny, like, the idea that Keon Coleman's not as high-profile as Xavier Worthy. That might change in, like, 2 weeks. But when Worthy scores that touchdown in the opener, Mike Tirico calls him the fastest man, the speedy man, and it's electrifying. Yeah. It's just the story around him going there. So, I don't know. If, like, you're the one seed and you're Mahomes, and you get the one seed, that's a big advantage. That guy gets, the one seed quarterback, gets the MVP a lot. Lamar did it. Aaron Rodgers did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the Bills have a really solid path to the one seed this year. Their schedule's very difficult. But Allen, I think, does have, whether he's due one or the consistency, would you need anybody else? Mahomes or Allen versus the field, which side would you take?
I think the right bet is those two, and I think I would want to take the field. But it would be close, which is why I don't know if I want to add anybody else in.
Well, let's take a look. Jordan Love just took a hit. He's going to miss a bunch of games, some games. Stroud. It's going to be a quarterback. It's always a quarterback.
And so it's tough right now, right, because they all stunk in week one.
Yeah, nobody
except
really
for,
hit,
like,
except for Allen.
The two leading passers on the week were Tua who I'm just not going to get there on for this, and then Baker Mayfield, who threw for like 289 and four touchdowns. And like, come on. I like Baker Mayfield, but he's not winning MVP. So who of the MVP caliber quarterbacks had a bad week? Like Rodgers, you could throw into that. You know, you like Trevor Lawrence's performance. Is he somebody that's capable of winning an MVP?
No, not at all. I thought Lawrence played well in that game.
Lamar had a good game, but he didn't, like, the moments at the end might ding him in some people's minds, and he didn't win. It'd be funny if he wins Offensive Player of the Week just to watch, again, the world burn a little bit.
Yep.
But Lamar is still in here, but that's kind of the same point, isn't it, that they just want to give it to Lamar again? If they're the one seed,
no.
2 years in a row, three of the last five or whatever it would be.
It's just like Mahomes. I think it's actively working against Lamar, that he's less likely to win it now. Could Dak Prescott win the MVP? I guess he could.
I thought he had a good shot last year, and then he kind of fell off at the end. The Bills game, really, right? Was he the favorite going into the Bills game? He might have been. So I would throw Prescott in the ring on that. Sure. That might be it.
Allen, Mahomes.
Well, that's the thing,
or
right?
The field.
It almost feels like the way we're breaking it down, it's Allen and Mahomes against like four guys.
Against everybody. Everybody.
Right. But like, but not everybody is actually going to like.
No, I know. Like even Tyreek Hill last year got a lot of pub for MVP.
Yeah. And see,
there's talk about receivers and running backs, and it just never happens.
I just can't ever take that seriously, right? That anyone's ever going to do it. I think it's a quarterback award, and it's probably, barring something, maybe once every 50 years, maybe it'll change, or if the sport changes. But I just can't take it seriously that a non-quarterback wins it. So how many quarterbacks do I think are capable of winning it? Like, I don't think it's a ton of them.
I would cap it at like four.
Right, so then I kind of get to, I feel like it's Allen and Mahomes again. The bet is almost Allen and Mahomes against like four or five guys.
Yeah. Allen and Mahomes against 500 guys. I mean, have all the positions. One week in, it's Allen, right? And that is a part of what will drive this, is getting in the conversation early. And, you know, Bills fans, we know Bills fans want this. They want hardware. They want hardware for Allen, whether that's a Lombardi or an MVP. And I know that the MVP is not on the level of the Lombardi. I think we all know that. But it would represent hardware and validation for him. And I don't think it's any controversial thing to say it would matter an awful lot. It might matter more to Bills fans than it matters to Allen. It probably does. But it matters a lot to Bills fans.
It does. 40% said they would take that over going
to the Super Bowl and losing.
Right.
Win the AFC or Allen wins the MVP. Pick one. And you don't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Pick one. It was 60-40 with 40% saying the MVP would be better.
Well, part of this, too,
because that doesn't involve a loss in the Super Bowl.
Like, if you tell me Allen wins MVP, like, the recent history of the award is they almost always give it to the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sometimes you'll get them giving it to the two or the three. But they're not giving it to the quarterback of the seven seed. That's not the Bills squeak into the playoffs.
No, that's right.
And they're giving Allen the MVP. Like, they probably won the division and probably had 12 wins, at least, if he's winning the MVP. So to me, like, that is included in the formula here. So, but right, for most, it's more about Allen getting vindication against, you know, what is Rex, the same attitude Rex Ryan just had in that clip. Like, oh, they said he was overrated. How do you like me now? Like, wanting to puff your chest out and be like, yeah, how is my guy overrated now? Which really, by the way, do people understand that it works? That actually works in reverse? The people that think he's overrated, if he goes and wins MVP, you know, unless they change their opinion on him, they're going to think he's even more overrated. You give the hardware, you're rated higher.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, has more of a right to be called overrated than Allen does because he's won two MVPs. Allen doesn't have anything that compares to that.
Again, every overrated conversation is just a conversation about what other people think.
Right.
So, like, here's Burrow.
You lost in it's a tornado.
Here's
you just
Burrow.
Never escape.
Joe Burrow lost another early season game, this time against a really weak, we think, Patriots team.
Yeah. I would not bet on him right now.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Jalen Hurts, by the way, is fourth in the odds.
Nope.
Not a fan of that?
Nope.
Goff?
Nope. You give me Allen. Allen and Mahomes against the field.
Anthony Richardson for this.
803-0550. If you want a thought on this, you can throw it our way. It's Tuesday. Talking about the Dolphins game, which is fast approaching, and also this Arizona game. Looking back, right, you had another day to sleep on it.
Watched it back yesterday, too.
Any takeaways from this Arizona game?
I tried to figure out if they ran the ball more on the last two drives, if it was because of Allen's hand, and I didn't get, I don't know. The next drive after Allen hurts his hand, they do throw the ball three times in a row after, I think it was four runs in a row. Like, it was a weird drive. And the final play of that was the one where Coleman is running open down the field and he tries to check it down to Ty Johnson, mm-hmm. and they punt. So I was trying to think, like, is Brady running the ball here at the end? Run, because Allen's hand is screwed up and they don't want to whatever, but it just...
If they threw three passes in a row, the answer to that is probably no.
And also, they ran him on the third and two right. before on their final offensive play of the game. Yeah. If his left hand is that screwed up, you're not running the ball with him, I don't think. So, I think I've landed on I do not like how they ran the ball at the end of that game, and I don't think it had anything to do with Allen's injury. I think they ran it because they wanted to run it.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing coming out of the Arizona game that we can take and look forward. How does everybody feel about that field goal? It's the kind of thing where I feel like it would have been a bigger conversation against, I don't know.
The Chiefs?
Sure, but it would be results-based. If they beat the Chiefs, no one has time to complain about it because, hey, you won. But, okay, you want to kick it away there. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals had 31 passing yards in the second half. Like, what are you worried about, right? Like, that team was not having answers. But here, that's the million-dollar question. Okay. Everything is the exact same. The exact same scenario. The Bills have the ball there. They can close out the game. They run it five consecutive times and kick a field goal. If that is against Kansas City, Houston, pick your teams.
They play the Niners later in the year.
Would you want them to do that against Miami? Would you want them to do that exact same thing on that field goal? And to give you some context on this, you looked up the win probability points.
Yep.
Gained or lost. Now, I know this because we've charted this over the course of however long McDermott's been here. One spot that the Bills were near perfect in multiple years was never giving away more than 1% win probability on kicks. That's punts and field goals. They were a team that we don't know their methodology. We don't see their analytics and their data studies. But if you just use like win probability, the Bills had a very long stretch of never making a call that cost them 1 point or more in win probability. And that one cost them 3.5.
Yep.
So you could say a lot of things about McDermott and game management. There's a lot of people with a lot of opinions, and that's fine. That was out of character.
Mm-hmm.
That was a departure from what they have been. You want to say it was the feel of the game, which is pretty much what he did. He said it was a 4th and 2, they would have gone for it. 4th and 3, they felt not so much. Is that a reflection on the offense he feels he has right now? Who knows? Gutalytics, analytics, they have been a very good team with that. And to have kicked there as conservatively as they did, 5 straight runs and a kick, that was out of character. To me, that's the key. It was out of character. Now, it might be a new approach. It might be you just felt like the vibe for that game. But again, like, look at the numbers. 3.5 win percentage, win probability points.
Yeah.
They're a team that would never have done that in the past, and they did it this time.
And they did it because they trusted their defense was going to close the game out?
Yeah, they had to. That's why you did it, because you trusted your defense to close out Kyler Murray, the second half adjustment, whatever. They end up being right. I mean, Murray does get them halfway down the field, and they get a shot at the end zone, but not much of one.
Is that a total field decision? What if it's flipped? In that game, the Cardinals have a slow first half. They have 61 yards of passing, whatever, of offense in the first half. And then the second half looks like the first half did. They're moving the ball better.
What would they do?
James Conner's involved. Would they kick the field goal again?
Don't you think that the Cardinals should kick? I'm sorry. Don't you think if you're the Cardinals, you would go for that? I do not want to give Josh Allen a chance here to win the game.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying if McDermott is approaching that as, hey, the Cardinals have figured out how to move the ball on me. I'm up three, but they're moving it now. Does he then go for the fourth down? Like I think in that moment he had to have gone on feel. But haven't we heard him say or have evidence of the past that they do have a guy in the booth that's telling them
green lights, yellow
green
lights,
yeah. like hey, there's someone in that building that is I think telling him like this is 3.5 percentage points you're losing by kicking this field goal. I think that's true, that there's somebody that's telling them that, like, I don't know, my defense is playing well.
Well, maybe they're running their own numbers, and again, it's only 3.5. If you're on ESPN's win probability,
right.
And they run theirs, and they say, like, actually, it's 0.7.
Do they have a different they have a different number against the Cardinals? Because I don't think ESPN changes it by opponent.
That's right. Jay in Hamilton. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so at the end of the day, we win the game, and I get it. But I guess what bothers me, and I could be totally wrong about this, I think you said gutalytics, Jeremy, and I haven't heard that before. Maybe I feel like I should have, but I love that feeling. It's 4th and 3, and I'm at this point now where any time I'm taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, it has to be a big reason why. And if you look at that game, in that second half, that offense was rolling. And we have seen this team too many times, play it safe, and then we have to bite our nails and pull our hair on that last play of the game, virtually waiting for the last throw to be thrown for the whistle to go to end the game. And I just think that I appreciate analytics and all this kind of stuff I do. But in that moment, knowing the history and everything else that's happening, when you have a centaur, and I keep saying this, Josh Allen, I just, 4th and 3, 4th and 2, oh, come on. Like, give me a break. If it's 4th and 10, I can listen to that argument. You got Josh, even with one hand. Don't take the ball out of his hands. You can do all kinds of things with that and then close that game out. And I just think, if this is Kansas City, is it different? I don't think so. I think if it was Kansas City, despite all the history that we have, he still might have said, you know what, I still trust my defense because I still think, although Sean might have come around a little bit, and I'll end here, to be a bit more offensive-minded than maybe we think he is, I still think he has that defensive, and he still would have done that because he thinks defenses still can win a game, and I just get worried about that when push later in the season.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay. I mean, trust in the defense, it really played well in the second half. To the point about Allen, Centaur, okay, let's go this far down the line. Does McDermott think, if I call a play on 4th and 3, he's going to run through someone again? he's already got a hand. We got to get pictures of that later today. Mm-hmm. He's okay. I mean, McDermott did use the word functioning. Allen went in and was able to function. You know, is that a choice, that word? I don't know. I'm sure he's probably fine. And what would they do against Kansas City? Well, they weren't playing Kansas City. That's an important point. They weren't playing Kansas City. If it's the Chiefs, we could put a Twitter poll about this if you want. Exact same scenario. Chiefs, field goal or go for 4th and 3? What is it? Here's why you explain where it is the field goal of death. The reason it's actually worse to go from up 3 to up 6 is that team now plays to win instead of potentially playing to tie. Here's a great example. The Bills-Chiefs playoff game. What if they were down 4 instead of down 3? They go for 4th and 9.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go for a field goal to tie and give you the ball and trust the defense. The fact the Bills were down 3 on that drive, where Bass ultimately missed, worked against them. If you could play it over again and they're down 4, they're more likely to win the game because they're playing for a touchdown as opposed to playing for, well, we got to be careful, we got to see here. That's the difference between being up/down 3 and having it be 4, 5, or 6. So it is interesting to think, what would he have done if it's on the road? What if it's Miami this week? And would he look at it differently if instead of, I mean, that was a high-scoring game for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 13-10, is it a different conversation? If it's 37-34,
yeah,
is it a different conversation? I mean, that was a high-scoring game. And again, in part because of a special teams kick return for a touchdown. But
yeah,
I didn't have a major problem with it. Maybe that's because I trusted the defense to get the job done against Kyler Murray, and that offense that had done nothing in the second half, I probably would have gone for it, but it doesn't strike me as a major problem. I was more upset about, like, if it's the Chiefs, it's a major problem. You can't do it. That much time left for that, you can't do it against the Chiefs. You can't, in a playoff game at home,
There are times, though, where that's going to, even if it's a team like the Cardinals, right? Like,
I know.
There will be a time or two where it will not go your way, and you'll just lose the game outright. Versus if you miss, that is what the field goal of death kind of means. If you miss and give up a field goal to tie it, and now you're playing into overtime, you know, you could still come out ahead in that game. But you could lose by one if, listen, it wasn't that far off. That penalty, or that last play of the game, like, I wouldn't have called a penalty on that, but there have been things that have been called. There have been actions that were less aggressive than that. Jamarcus Ingram had a hand on Dortch's arm when the ball arrived, like just before. The ref is standing right there. Like, I was afraid he was going to throw the flag. I didn't think it was a penalty, but I was afraid the ref was going to throw the flag. What if he does? Maybe we're talking about the call then more, but now it's first and goal at the one for the Cardinals to win the football game. That's how thin your margin for error is when you kick that field goal versus you get the fourth and three. Like, the game is over. The game is just over. You've won the football game with 3 yards versus now I got to defend the Cardinals. I got to defend them on this play. I need Kyler Murray to not see Marvin Harrison Jr. down the field. I need to make sure the ref doesn't call a flag on the 1 yard line on the last play of the game. Like, you just got more you have to do versus just get 3 yards with, as the caller said, the centaur quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the more we're saying it, like, I'm not one to want to parse between different teams. Probably should have gone for it. I wasn't that mad in the moment. I don't know why. Maybe because it's a long season and it's week one and it felt like a game that, here I am telling you, my gutalytics were less, my antenna were less up than they have been in the past. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Brad, we'll get right to your call on the other side. We got to get a break in. Join us if you'd like. It's Tuesday. We're talking about that kick. Is it different if it's a different team for you? And do you think the Bills would treat it differently? 1-0, Dolphins this week. We'll be watching injury reports. Allen cleared to practice, cleared to play. Taron Johnson, a big absence for him. The Bills will be without their stud nickel corner. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What do you think is going to happen right now, boys? You know. What's Aaron going to do?
Well, I mean, you can't abandon the run, Adam, because you don't want to get us throwing every single time against this pass rush.
Right.
Oh, no.
See, maybe you should get rid of me. I don't want to be here. I'm going. That was terrible, fellas.
That's all we get?
For some. Well, yeah, I shouldn't be here, man. This was a mistake for you guys and for the Jets.
Adam Sandler, part of the Manning cast after Bill Belichick did the first half. Jeremy and Joe, let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. Quick question on fantasy football, Joe.
Okay. Happy standings day, by the way, everybody.
Is Jordan Mason a bet-the-whole-budget guy like Jerome Ford was when Nick Chubb went down? Because Jerome Ford of the Browns, everyone went ham on Jerome Ford.
Yep.
And he ended up getting 200 carries. Wasn't exactly as good as Nick Chubb. But Jordan Mason, I mean, there's a reason to think that Christian McCaffrey injury could linger.
Yeah.
And if there's another injury in the future, Jordan Mason has shown, he can be it.
Right. I wouldn't bet the farm on it because McCaffrey, I guess it's tough to know, right? Like, can I even say, do I think he's going to play next week? We all thought he was going to play this week. And if he was ruled out on Friday, by the way, maybe he didn't come as close to playing as we thought he did.
And if the guy going in instead of him is this productive, you don't need to rush him back.
Right. But because you just don't know if you're going to have the whole season. Like, I wouldn't bet the farm, but I would go heavy on it because, listen, in that offense, if McCaffrey misses time, if you're in the fantasy playoffs and McCaffrey is not playing, Jordan Mason is a league-winning type of player.
Yeah.
Because you didn't spend a draft pick on him. And if he's the guy in a Niners offense, I mean, he's a top 10 running back every single week. So I might go half. But I don't think I'd do the full. Just unless McCaffrey were injured for like the year, I wouldn't go full.
803-0550. The Jets defense gave up 8 consecutive scoring drives.
Amazing.
Yeah, rough one for the Jets defense. And Rodgers did not look anything too threatening.
They have a very soft part of their schedule coming up.
They're going to need it. They're really going to need it.
Next week, they're at the Titans. They go Titans, Patriots, Broncos, Vikings.
All right.
Leading into the Bills
game. Keep an eye on the Patriots there. Yeah. Right? Keep an eye on the Patriots.
And maybe the Vikings. Yep. Vikings might not be that bad.
803-0550, we're talking about the game that just happened, of course, Bills-Cardinals, and that field goal decision, and starting to turn our attention to Bills-Dolphins as well. Bills 1-0, Dolphins 1-0, and a very big matchup this week on a short week. Jeremy in Waterloo is next up as we connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Long time, first time.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Just wanted to touch on that field goal decision, and I try to listen every morning, but the decision to go for it on 4th and 3 or the decision to kick the field goal, it's a coin flip, but I probably would have gone for it myself. My big hang-up is the fact that they didn't trot Josh out there on 4th and 3 and hard count the defense to try and drum offside. And I don't know if anyone's made this take or not, but if you take a 5-yard delay of game penalty and you push that field goal back to a 36, I don't see that hurting your chances. But you pick up that first down on an offsides, I mean, that's the ball game. So I don't know if this take has been made or not, but just thought I'd sort of throw that out there. It's been bugging me ever since Sunday.
Yeah, thanks. I had not heard that suggestion. Josh's hard count was effective in this game. And the thing I would wonder, I don't know. Did they have a timeout? Because I think if you take 5 yards back, even though that doesn't seem like it's that far, I just feel like that's a tough ask of your kicker. We're just going to add to the degree of difficulty here.
Right. A guy that... Well, he had been fine in the game.
Sure, you need him to make that kick.
Kicking into the wind, too. Do you want the distance messed with there? If they had a timeout, I would understand that. But
yep, absolutely.
Because you get him, you win the game. I just would have gone for it, though.
Yeah. The
Or not run it the previous 3 plays, especially when you get to 2nd and 3.
Yeah,
that's another part of this. If they don't have 7 yards on the first down run, do they pass it after that? If they have 2nd and 7,
maybe
instead, get me to a pass. Like I'm at a point with the Bills where I think the thing, you know, where there's a big disparity right now between their neutral situation pass rate and their expected dropback rate. Those are two different numbers. Try to evaluate how much do you throw the ball versus run it. They're 14th in neutral pass rate. They're 23rd. An expected dropback grade. What might be the big change there, I think, is the second in shorts, the third in shorts.
They are running on those all the time.
They might be running on those plays more than anybody in football, which is why the expected number is tanking.
Yeah, the running on 2nd and short, it's a lot. It's a lot of it.
So I'm almost at a point where I almost feel like if I could retroactively root against them getting 7 yards on that first down run, I might rather they be in 2nd and 7 because I'm more likely for them to call a pass at some point versus they get 7 on the first down run. They don't even get anything on the next run.
No.
The next and they still 2. Go back to the run.
Yep.
Versus if they go 2nd and 7, then they run it again. Now they got 3rd and 4 or they got 3rd and 5. Now I'm getting Allen with the ball in his hands. I almost would rather have that.
Yeah.
It's because I don't trust them right now as an offense to decide on a 2nd and 3 or a 3rd and 2 to run the football. And that's been going back to the moment Brady took over last year.
We will talk with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast tomorrow at this time. And, you know, I listened to his All-22 breakdown. One of his takeaways, and we'll get to it with him tomorrow, one of his takeaways about the run game, and this kind of makes sense. You know, sometimes you watch a game and you feel like, well, James Cook ran all over them, right? And the Bills had a great day running the football. And then at the end of the day, it was 19 for 71. And you're thinking, man, it felt like it was a lot better than that. I didn't realize it was under 4 yards per carry. And Joe's observation was the Bills were running the ball well. The problem that ultimately came to be was that Joe Brady got too in love with the run on first down. And the Bills became predictable. So Arizona was selling out to stop the run on first down because the Bills kept running on first down. And the ultimate, the final count on runs on first down versus passes on first down, I checked this out yesterday. Taking out the two-minute drive, only at the end of the first half, taking that drive out, the Bills on first down had 16 runs and 5 passes. And in the second half, and on that drive, it's 5 consecutive runs and 2 first down runs. You have a spot where, and maybe this is the kind of thing we have seen Brady set up before, right? Remember last year, Joe, they called 1,000 of those screens. We thought, what's the point of these screens? They're not working.
Right.
And then they finally went to hit one over the top for Gabe, and then that didn't connect. But the point is setting things up. If the Bills are going to do this, and really, if you want them to be a balanced team, and this is a point that if you want them to be more balanced and more run heavy, you might sucker me in with this idea. It's going to take a little bit of time to convince everybody we're balanced. And to do that, I've got to show it a lot more. Especially in a matchup against Arizona. We think we have a good matchup there. Mm-hmm. Their defensive line. I'm going to show people I'm not afraid to stick with it. The same way they did against Dallas when it worked really well. I'm going to stick with this. Because nobody wants to believe me yet. I've got Josh Allen. They think I'm going to just revert back to throwing it all day, every day, and I want the threat of a run game. McDermott has used that phrase throughout his time here, the threat of a run game. And the threat of a run game is obviously having backs in the backfield, having two tight ends, but it's also 2 months of film that says we'll run it at you.
Yeah. It also, it's the way the league is maybe going.
Okay, glad you brought that up, because I saw, you're seeing a lot more passing numbers came down.
Yeah.
Rushing numbers are up. Kevin Cole, Unexpected Points, formerly of PFF, he had a great note on this. Do you know that the number one factor why running the football is more effective now than it has been in years past? The number one reason?
Is it because teams are, what, they're playing nickel more than ever? It's or something like that?
It's because quarterbacks run the ball now. It's because quarterbacks are running the ball. Josh Allen, Anthony Richardson, Jaden Daniels.
Lamar.
Quarterbacks running the ball is so normal now that if you take all the plays in football, like your EPA per quarterback run has really spiked rushing attacks. Look at the Bills and Cardinals on Sunday. The two quarterbacks ran like crazy.
Yeah.
How'd the running backs do? I didn't really do that. That's fine.
Right.
Nothing
it was,
crazy.
It was the scrambles.
It was scrambles. And even design quarterback runs that the league has. So many of these quarterbacks that are able to make plays with their feet. Purdy did last night.
Yeah.
You know who can't do that? Aaron Rodgers is not going to do that.
No.
And if you don't have that, you might be totally dead as an offense. How good do you have to be as a quarterback if you're not adding that in any way?
Right.
So a little meandering walk through what happened to the Bills. Run game is they started calling it too much.
Yeah. For the league trend, there's probably – I mean, there's – isn't the league reacting to how defenses also have adjusted in recent years? Where, do you see, look how the Bills played defense a lot on Sunday. Cam Lewis was playing linebacker. Or Jamarcus Ingram. They were doing that. Where one of their defensive backs was coming down into the box. Last year, the Bills did that with Jordan Poyer. Mm-hmm. That when I grew up with the Drought Bills, it was three linebackers on the field at all times.
That's right.
It was London Fletcher, Takeo Spikes, and like Angelo Crowell, and they never left the field.
Shout out Eddie Robinson.
Eddie Robinson. They just unless it was like a 3rd and 12.
Jeff Posey.
Right. Now, how many?
John DiGiorgio. Now we're having fun.
Now we're just naming
we're
Bills. We're just naming Bills Drought linebackers. Keith Ellison.
Love
The Bills.
Did
how
you
many?
Say Angelo Crowell?
I did say that was the first one.
Sorry.
Angelo Crowell. What about? Oh man, did I run out?
No, we got more. Okay, keep going.
Kelvin Shepard.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Nick Barnett.
Okay. Kavika Mitchell.
Yeah, there we go. These are the Chan linebackers, right? How many snaps do the Bills run with one linebacker on the field? Last year they did it a ton.
Yeah.
This year they already did it a bunch on Sunday. So what's an offensive reaction to that? Well, all right, you're daring me to run it. You're saying to me, I got two safeties over the top, and then I got five defensive backs down low. So you're saying to me as a defense, yeah, I'm not letting you throw it over me. And I'm going to have all these defensive backs out here to make sure you can't throw it in the middle of the field either. So what's an offense say? Well, all right, it's the Bills. Bulldog brought this up yesterday. It's the Bills, what they did defensively to the Chiefs in the COVID year 4 years ago.
Dare you to run it.
Yeah. And what did the Chiefs do that day?
They ran it.
They ran it all day. And that's what offenses are doing. Everyone's daring offenses to run the ball, and the offenses right now are saying, all right, fine.
And Mahomes that day was 21 for 25 and had a great passing day, and they didn't stop them from passing the ball. Tune into WGR 550 each Bills game day during the regular season for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question. It's your chance to win two VIP tickets to a Buffalo Red Zone tailgate party, courtesy of Game Day Hospitality. Tickets include food, drink, entertainment, and access to the VIP tent. Visit our contest page at WGR550.com for details. More of your calls, Sal, top of the hour, and Chris Trapasso at 9 as we cruise through this Tuesday. It's Miami week, and we got to get to business on this all on WGR.
With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed
him. Luke, I am your father.
No! R.I.P. James Earl Jones, 93.
93.
Good run.
Yep.
You know,
Darth Vader, Mufasa.
Yeah, and then one more that did not get enough mention.
Can I? Let me guess which one you're about to say.
A film, a movie, a character that did not get enough run yesterday.
The King from Coming to America?
No.
Okay, because that's also one.
That is.
He was the King from Coming to America.
No, that's not it.
Oh. Field of Dreams?
No.
He's good in that, though.
That got a lot of run, too.
Sandlot?
Sandlot. George signed this?
That's why I didn't see it. That's not why I didn't see it. That's why I didn't know it.
You haven't seen The Sandlot?
I haven't seen The Sandlot. We've done this before.
I believe it's fine. I believe you.
We're into reruns. I haven't seen The Sandlot. This. Move along. Yet.
Summer's almost over. You still have time. It's only watchable in the summer.
James Earl Jones. I'm looking at his IMDb. He was in The Hunt for the Red October.
Yeah. He was in all the Tom Clancy movies with Harrison Ford.
Okay, yeah, because he plays Admiral Greer in that's his character in multiple different. All right.
Yep.
The best voice in movie history.
I mean, who's on the short list?
Like Morgan Freeman, maybe, but I'm going James Earl Jones. You can't replicate that. Is he also This Is CNN?
Sure, probably.
That's in my brain. I don't know if it's right. Fleeting thought that's just up there.
Yeah.
I think this is CNN. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong.
What percentage of people in their life have done a James Earl Jones impression?
He's the voice of This Is CNN.
You did.
That was one that was really bad. It's like a 3 out of 10. Oh, everybody.
Mufasa.
Everybody has tried to do the James Earl Jones.
All that you can see, all the light touches. What is it from Lion King? All right, got good calls to get to. Let's get Josh will kill me. All right, Sal on the other side. We'll get some calls.
Nobody calls him a Sal.
If you can stick with us, we'll get your calls in with Sal. Jeremy and Joe here. It's Miami week. We're going back and talking about Arizona, the game plan, the field goal, things you might have liked. What we need to see next from this team, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.